Welcome back to Movement, our running podcast with our very own in-house running expert, Dr. Rajat Chauhan. We are on to the 9th episode. So welcome to the show, Dr. Chauhan. And we have a couple of questions from our listeners. The first one is from Shilpi Batra from Faridabad, is asking, what should I eat before a run? And I think this is a very common question which many people sort of face, because they wonder, should they run empty stomach? How much should they eat, drink? So what is the ideal food?
All right, so hi ma'am. What Shilpi is asking is a very regular question that's being asked, but the point is there's no one answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I for one don't like to eat anything before I run. Yes, I would have like a sip of water or two, maybe 10-15 minutes before I run, but that's it. Now that works for me. Doesn't matter how long the run is, you know.
Okay.
Even if it's a 7-8 hour run, that's all I'll do. But then during the run itself, soon enough I'll start eating and stuff. But some people like to have bananas, some like to have sandwich, toast, whatever other things. So it's one of those things that, you know, you need to just figure and don't experiment with things during races. Always make sure, practice, see for yourself what works for you. The one big thing is about food. You should be running to have fun. You shouldn't be running to the toilet. So eat, practice during your practice runs. Sometimes what happens is people try, experiment new things during races and issues start. Some people are not able to absorb even those things like Gatorade, Glucozid, those energy drinks that
yes.
are there, the sports drinks and all that are there. Sometimes that's what happens. You end up getting, you know, rushing to the loo rather than to the run itself. So make sure you're comfortable with it. So I would say try it out. It isn't ever going to be that some brand works for someone, so it'll work for you too. Always please experiment during your practice runs. Okay, so that's the thing. There is no one answer to this one.
Okay. Kabir from Chennai is saying, is a heart rate monitor a must-have accessory? If yes, why so? If no, then why not?
Okay, so heart rate, I love listening, you know, like people train according to the heart rate and all that stuff. I think that's a good idea. It takes it to the next level. Listen to your body. This takes it to the next level when you're actually listening to the heart rate. So what the heart rate does is it's kind of monitoring what is the pulse doing depending on what speed you're running at. Also that recovery time, you know, when you're not running, even having the heart rate monitor, then it tells you right away what is your pulse like. And again, in the last episode, we spoke about the resting heart rate. That's an easy one. Then you don't even have to feel the pulse. First thing in the morning when you get up, just see what the number is. Has it come back to your original resting heart rate? If it hasn't, you need to rest longer or eat more or hydrate more. So I think heart rate monitor is a good one. Again, when we run, in this particular episode, we talk about various pacing things. So I'll talk about it more there. But it tells you what effort are you running at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Some people do not understand the concept of pacing. Again, I'll mention about heart rate monitor more there, actually.
But is heart rate monitor a must for even people who are not professionally running?
You go through phases. So thing is, when you're picking up running, you want all the gizmos around. And heart rate monitors are a good toy to have.
Right.
It gives you something more to work with. You don't have to be a professional. I mean, seriously, those watches are really for amateurs rather than professionals. But, you know, what it does is, it's something like this. You know, if you can't assess, it's all a guesswork then. And guesswork isn't a great idea.
Right.
But the point is, if you've been running for a while, then you actually know what effort you're putting in, how long you're running. It can keep a very good log for you. Like, I don't actually use a heart rate monitor anymore.
Oh.
But then, you know, I've been running for a while. So it's not a must at all, but it is a good toy to have.
Great. The next question is from Anshul Pandey, who's asking, what should be the patience level of a runner to attain the second wind?
Let me first explain what second wind is.
Yeah.
Okay? So what happens is when you're running, your first few kilometers are an effort. Okay, and then what happens is you get into your zone, you're running, but then after a while it hits you like, oh my God, you know, I've been running for a while and now I feel really lethargic and tired and all that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Some people stop right there, but others are so addicted to the second wind. What it means is it again, you feel that high suddenly. So you're waiting for that zone to come again. Okay. So a lot of runners, when they're running, they're waiting for it. So for some, it takes 20, 30 minutes. For someone like me, it takes an hour and a half to 2 hours at times,
mm-hmm.
Or longer. So all of us, those addicted to running bits, they are waiting for this. So it's a very big deal in long distance runners that, you know, the second wind part. There is no formula again. Anywhere between 30 minutes to 4 hours for different kind of runners, they could be having a second wind. So patience, I think running teaches you patience anyways. So yes, you have to have a high patience, yes.
Right. He's also asking a question question around how hydration and how much water to be drunk, because commonly people say drink as much as you can, but as you just mentioned, if you drink too much, you end up going to the loo probably. So again, how much water to drink?
Drink according to thirst. I mean, that's a very simple advice. There's a mentor of mine, Professor Timothy Noakes, a very popular guy in sports science and running science world. And that simple thing that he's saying there, listen to your body and drink to thirst, is something that human beings are not capable of understanding what that means. We drink too much. If it's a race, we pick up bottles of water because it's free. Otherwise, we're carrying a bigger bottle than, you know, is needed for a run. So no, there's no need for that. Just drink to thirst. Drink in sips. The whole liter of water is not needed. And again, there's more to it. If you're running races, get used to the idea of having a sip or two and maybe even spitting it out, because just keeping it wet in your mouth is going to be enough for you, actually.
Right. Okay.
So people are overhydrating. So please just drink according to thirst. It'll take care of you. Otherwise, you'll also have cramps, abdominal cramps and all that stuff, courtesy too much water just jumping around in the tummy. So just drink to thirst.
Great. That's pretty useful advice. So what's the drill for this week?
Carrying on from last week's episode, where we were talking about the side-to-side kind of a thing, where you're standing tall and you just, you know, move to the left side and then come back to the right and to the starting position again. Here, it's a slightly variation of that. But what you're doing is, you're not just taking left leg to the left side and the right just follows. We're just not doing that. We actually cross the right leg in front of the left and then we take the other one across. So effectively, it's like a swivel movement that is happening around the hips, actually. So your right crosses the left to go to the left side.
And
the
then
left
back.
Goes back across to the left. So effectively, it's like a dancing movement almost. And
yeah.
You take 10 steps going to the left and back again to the center, to the starting position. And do that some 10, 15 times, some, you know, 5, 6 repetitions if you can throughout the day. People will think you're silly, but it's actually very useful for running.
Right.
It'll prevent injuries. It'll start using different muscles that were not used otherwise. And it's great for the hips because you're really moving them in various other directions. It really prevents injuries.
Okay, that's great. What's the exercise for this week?
All right, so quadriceps activation. Quads are the thigh muscles. Now, these muscles are very important. You'll be surprised. Most people who run, most runners, 90% I would say, they are weak with the quadriceps in the inside. So quad refers to four parts to the muscle, but two of them are balancing each other out. So the inner muscle and the outer muscle kind of a thing, inside of the thigh, outside of the thigh. And if they're not balanced out, what they're doing is both of them are attached to the kneecap, the patella. Now, what happens is if the inner is weaker, it'll keep being pulled out actually from the outside part. And what it does is when you're running, there's a malalignment that is actually happening. Okay? So running isn't happening in the right form then. So what I'm really getting at is quadriceps are very important, more so the inner part of the thigh. And how do you activate this? Very, very simple one to start off with. Just lie down. That's a simple one. And then what you do, most probably what you'll notice with your feet is they'll be rolling out. They'll not be pointing, your big toe or toes will not be pointing to the sky.
Okay.
So just have the toes straighter. All your toes are just facing to the sky now. And now what you do, you contract your thigh muscles. So tighten them and hold them for 5 seconds or so and then relax again. And then tighten them and relax again. Now, as silly or simple as it seems, it takes a while to get it. Okay. So simply try doing that. If it is not working for you, a simple thing is roll up a towel or something and put it behind your knee and push against the towel thing. So basically you're pushing your leg down further into the mattress. And when you're doing that, that muscle activates automatically.
Okay.
But the whole idea is you need to understand what that contraction means. So you'll get it once you keep doing it. Hold that contraction for 5 seconds. Do it for 10 reps. Do it 3, 4, 5 times a day. This can happen while sitting down as well. So the whole trick is you don't have to be lying down. You can actually be sitting on a chair and doing it. But initially to get a hang of it, lying down is better.
Right. So I'm just wondering why you delayed talking about the quads for so long, because now we are in the 9th episode. Is it that it's like a gradual thing or any particular reason?
So the thing is, most people don't even get the idea of, you know, how to move properly. So rather than telling them which muscle and all that, the whole idea was, can they be soft on the feet?
Right.
So that's what we were kind of focusing on throughout. That's be soft on your feet. And now we are saying, hey, listen, these are now the muscles. So last time we spoke about the gluteus maximus.
Right.
You know, you're taking your leg back like a pendulum. This time we're talking about the front of the thigh now.
Mm.
So now these are the muscles that are really needed. But what is the point of the muscles working right way if you're not comfortable and easy on your feet? If you're a heavy thumping lander, I mean, we've got an issue. So that's why we just held it on for a little longer.
Great. So let's move on to the running schedule for this week. So it's like been almost 2 months since we started this, so...
Yeah, so we'll just take it to the next level now.
Right.
Now, what we're doing is rather than saying about that whole walk-run thing, great, we'll carry on with that anyways. But the two very simple things, concepts, if I can call them, that I'll be introducing today. One is pacing. Now, what happens is people, when they are doing something longer, like a half an hour, 1 hour and all that stuff, they don't know how to pace themselves well. So they go out too fast and then suddenly they don't have energy, or they go too slow and they have too much energy by the end of it. And they like could have gone faster. Now, this is a learning for life, you know, like how do you pace your life? How do you pace your run, both of them? So the whole idea is, when Kabir, who had asked about the heart rate monitor. Now, heart rate monitors are important for something like pacing. In pacing, we talk about three speeds. We talk about fast, moderate, and slow, okay? And fast is going to be, according to the heart rate monitor, I'll not talk about that, because that means that everyone has to have a heart rate monitor. I'll just talk about, if someone doesn't have a heart rate monitor, how do you do that? So if someone's running fast, what it means is, if you ask me a question while running, I'll answer back in a word or two.
Because you're running fast.
Because I'm running that fast. I can't actually say anymore.
Right.
Okay, so now that qualifies as a fast run. Then the intermediate running or moderate speed running is where I would answer back and say 4 or 5 words or maybe a short sentence. Now, a slow, easy run, you know, forever talking to you about everything. So maybe a sentence or two. So you ask me, how are you? And I tell you forever, you know, like yesterday it was raining and not raining.
You can have a whole conversation.
Exactly. Now, that's a slow, easy run.
Right.
Okay, so conversational pace. Now, this does the job what a heart rate monitor would have done.
Okay,
so heart rate monitor would have given you what is your heart rate at a particular pace. And that kind of gives you what intensity. Now, this is important based on how long you're planning to run. This becomes important. How much can you talk back?
Right.
Now, this week, we start doing different running activities rather than saying just walk, run every day, 5 days a week, same thing. Now, we'll do three different things. So, one is as slow as you like. This happens probably on a weekend because people have a lot more time to kind of, you know, be around, hang around, doing things. So, here, do a 1 minute walk, 1 minute brisk walk, but a 5 minute run. Okay, and do it 6 times, maybe 7 times, maybe 8 times. But when you're running or when you're doing brisk, take it easy. By the end of it, you should still be fresh. I'm not at all interested in someone being completely exhausted by the end of it. It's called as slow as you like. It's not called as fast as you like. All right? So here, keep your energy, save your energies for this one. So that's the first one. Your talking should be like, you should be able to converse long in this one. The next one, tempo running. So that could have been on a weekend, your as slow as you like run. The tempo run could have been like on a Thursday or so. And tempo effectively means you're doing non-stop, but longer duration. So because we've been doing too short right now, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, all that stuff.
Right.
So tempo, what I want is, let's do 10 odd minutes, non-stop, but at a quicker pace. Here, if someone is talking only 4 or 5 words to be spoken, and that's about, I mean, you can't speak anymore. So that's your pace. And maybe you repeat the 10 minutes twice. So you do in total 20 compared to the long run, which was 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Okay. The third one is interval training. Here, I would say, just do a walk for a minute. Don't do brisk walk. Forget it. Just do the run. Now I want that 5 minutes to be a faster run. And if someone's talking to you, you're so breathless that you can only talk about, you know, like a word or two only, and that's it. And you keep repeating. You 1 minute walk, 5 minute run, 1 minute walk, 5 minute run. You could very well start that fast running with just 2 minutes, maybe. Maybe 5 minutes will be too much. But you'll have to just see for yourself, you know, what is working. And repeat it a few times, like 5-6 repetitions. Now, spread these three runs throughout the week. Could be a Tuesday for the fast run, interval training. Could be a Thursday for tempo. And the slow run could be happening on the weekend. And that's it. So this is very useful because if you're doing different things now, you're starting to get better, really. So we've really upped it now. It's effectively like people now graduating from, you know, nursery level to the next one. This is crucial.
So it's pacing, all about pacing. So moving on, we move to the story of the week. This has been contributed by Gaurav Chaudhary from New Delhi.
Right, so Gaurav is a very popular guy in the New Delhi NCR running community.
I see.
And he was actually awarded the most popular runner in Delhi NCR by Dwarka Runners Group. And he started his running in 2004. And he ran his first marathon or half marathon then, or not even half marathon actually, 7K at Hutch Delhi Half Marathon 2004. He's been running ever since, so it's been 12 years since that he's been running. And it's become a habit for him now. He's been running, you know, and he's just doing more and more. He does all kind of distances, 5, 10, 21, all that stuff. The good part about him is it's not only about his running. He does, you know, helps other people. He's run twice with visually impaired people at Delhi Half Marathon. I think that's really, really cool, 2013, 2014. And I think that's so human-like, you know, which running gets to you. So, yes, he's an amazing human being, but even more because of such activities. He hopes to enjoy and continue his passion for running forever. His motto is to complete the race and not compete. I've seen him. I've seen him in running circuits enough. And he's a guy who's happily just trotting along, not bothered about, you know, who's kind of overtaking him or whatever. He goes at his own comfortable pace, which is very, very good. And then he says that what he would like for the country to have is the younger people being trained properly in running, which hasn't happened in his opinion so far, which I totally agree with. And so they can end up winning some world championships and all that stuff.
Right.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, who taught us running ever? It was always about go run and not about how to do it.
Right.
So he's a great inspiration for all, Gaurav Chaudhary.
More power to him.
Yes.
And let's move to the running events for this week.
All right, so again, we carry on with the thing about the Pinkathon thing. It's on the 4th of September. Please register if you haven't. Go train a little bit for it because there are 3, 5 and 10K and 21K as well. The only thing is it's limited to ladies. So guys, don't lose heart. I mean, you know, go clap out there. So you should register sooner. The sooner you register, since you kind of pay that money, maybe you'll put in some effort, put up a good show when you're actually that event happens. So the registration shut on 30th of August and... then is Coimbatore Marathon. We've spoken about it earlier also. The race is on the 2nd of October. 5, 10 and 21 kilometer are the distances. And the deadline is 31st August. And then is Wipro Chennai Marathon again on 11th December. 10, 21 and 42 are the distances there. But the point really is there the organizers are saying please register sooner than later so you can train well and enjoy your run then.
Right.
Okay. And adding on is another race called in Bangalore Marathon. It's on 16th October. Deadlines are for registrations are 15th September. So whichever city you are in, I mean, go register, run some fun races.
Lots of options to choose from.
So
wherever you are, just go run.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.